Blog Talk Radio.
No more rehearsing upon. We know every card by heart. Oh, good evening and welcome to a special edition, a special Thursday night edition of Blue Shirt Banner Radio. And I forgot we have a new intro.
You are now listening to Blue Shirt Banter Radio. And now, the two men voted sexiest guys to host an internet radio show about the New York Rangers from 8 to 10 on Blog Talk Radio, Jim Schmiederberg and Eddie Geich.
Wow.
Eddie, do you, how many? We really had to narrow down that category to win, I'll tell you.
Yeah. I mean, I feel special now. No shtick tonight. The mouth is going shtickless.
Playing it straight.
Yeah, I'm playing it straight. I ran out of lozenges, actually. So you're going to be hearing the mouth. Plus, my voice took a beating at the game yesterday. Holy cow, man. I was out of it.
So did our hopes.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, it was so pathetic. But I really wasn't in training. The mouth was out of training. I tell you, I should have been screaming a lot more. I blew out my voice yelling BlueShirtBanner.com, and apparently nobody heard it anyway. So, I mean, what's the sense? But,
what was the now on TV last night? It looked like a pretty sparse crowd. What was it like in the arena last night?
Zipperhead was reporting that this is the smallest crowd he's seen. It wasn't all that bad. I mean, it was 13,000 were announced, and you know, it kind of reminded me of like those preseason games, a little bit more than a preseason game the Rangers have. There were a lot of seats empty, let's face it, especially in the blue seats. But I didn't think it was like, wow. I mean, considering that the fear-mongering that went on with the newscast about how bad the weather wasn't bad. I drove in to Queens, and I had no problem driving in. The problem was driving back on that Long Island Expressway, which they didn't shovel. So it took me like an hour and a half to get home, but from Queens. But other than that, it was good. I mean, the city was in pretty good shape, and I got a lot of thoughts on what went on. As far as the game and the fans too. I got to talk to a lot of the fans and. A couple people came up to me, Peter, who's a listener of the show and a faithful listener to the show, and
Peter from the Phoenix game.
No, Peter from the guy who came down to see me down to VFW. We talked to him.
That's Paul.
Paul. Why am I talking Peter? See, I don't do this shtick, and I tell you, I forget everything. Yeah, it was Paul. Paul rather came in and. We talked to him, and then I saw the tweets on my BlackBerry, and I was laughing because I'm there at the game, and I see DB Mavens saying, Simply JB, mouth will pick you up. I mean, he's arranging rides for things. I don't even know what he's talking about. And then I got Simply JB was talking about where her seats were, and actually I could see her seats where she would have been had she attended that game, but I could have given her a wave, and I got to talking to her. I think what I most took away from that game is the frustration of the Ranger fan, the season ticket holder. I really didn't realize how bad things were. I didn't get the, you know, you can watch the games and be disappointed with this team, but when you really go to the game and you talk to the people, you can understand why they want to have a fire sale, the rally. I mean, it's so disgusting, and you know, the people that were there last night were, you know, super diehards. I mean, really. So, but
well, I mean, to go out in that weather, you gotta be right. Now, did you find yourself getting recognized as you made your way around the garden? Were you drawing a crowd? Did you have to have security escort you to your seats because of the masses
absolutely not. I was looking to impress my cousins by somebody coming up to me, and it turns out that Paul came up to talk to me while they were at the concession stands. Which, by the way, 25% off food and drink, which I thought was great, which I was going to take them up on it, try to drive them bankrupt by drinking beer and eating as much food as I could. But I when I go to the game, I believe it or not, as much of a gavone that I am, I can't really eat during a game. I'm just so into it and trying to get the fans, you know, laughing, especially when we're losing. You know, I feel like I'm part of the entertainment package when you come to the garden. And, you know, I kind of gauge the people in my section. If they think I'm a loudmouth and not funny, I shut up. But usually I win them over. I had a couple people laughing. So
Hockey's too intense to try and eat during the game. Baseball, you could eat. I mean, that's all go to a baseball game, there's nothing to do, buddy. You got 20 minutes between each pitch. You got to eat.
Yeah. No,
now, the 25% off at the concessions, was that just something they did for the fans that made it out last night, or is that something new they are doing at the – oh, okay, so that was just for last night. Okay.
Yeah, that was for last night.
And Greg in the chat room asked the question that I was going to ask. 25% off beer brought the price down to what, about $20?
Exactly. You know, you didn't have to take a second mortgage to hit the concession stands. So, I just love being around the Ranger fans. I tell you, I love hearing everybody's take on it. And everybody's got a different opinion. And, you know, it kind of humbles you because you get on this show and we got our own brand of people here. But these guys, you know, that have been season ticket holders for like 30 years. And when I was yelling, I kind of warned people because I do have a very loud voice. And I, you know, at other sporting events, I've actually scared people. And so I kind of warned this guy. I was like, listen, I'm going to yell here. And, you know, I just want to warn you. And he's like, buddy, you don't have to warn me. This is Madison Square Garden. Yell anything you want. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, and that's what happened, you know, like, you know, it's, I warned them, and then I think they still got scared. So.
I had sent you this in a tweet last night, and City Hockey Fever just mentioned it. Did you see Tiekkanen at the game last night?
No.
I don't know if you got my tweet.
No, I saw that. I couldn't find him, but Gilbert was at the game. Greshner was at the game.
Bellamy, yes, they interviewed Greshner in between periods. And he did not mention Ron Greshner night presented by Blue Shirt Banner March 28th in Hackensack, New Jersey. He didn't mention it.
Well, he's got to keep in good stead with MSG. They don't want to be going off with some fly-by-night website and radio program.
Oh,
Colin
okay.
Wilson scored. I think I think you know what I got to say one thing that I really that got to me is I really realized for the first time after seeing it the first time this year that Wade Redden is a detriment to this hockey team when he's on the ice. He really doesn't belong on the team. And I know we joke, and I, you know, I was yelling Mary Lou Redden the whole night, cracking up the section, you know, the whole thing. But seriously, he is awful. I mean, he really is awful. I couldn't, and I guess live and in person, I kind of put the ISO on him, you know, how you watch a player.
Right.
And he really should be in the minor leagues, or she just, you know. No, I realize he stinks, Jackie. I knew he sucked from the get-go. But when you see Mary Lou Redden live and in person, the hatred for this bum, it becomes more intensified because you're like, this guy stinks beyond stinking. I mean, I was like, this guy doesn't belong in the NHL. I mean, if I were him, I'd have some self-respect and just quit. Just quit. I mean, it was...
Walk away, Renee.
And I was doing the Jackie Gleason, you are a bum, screaming that. And you got that somewhere, right?
You are a bum.
Yeah, that's what I was doing. And anybody who watched behind him was just laughing their asses off of the food. Well, you know. You're the cool Mary Lou, Jen. But that Mary Lou Redden, he is Rose all I can live with. And I gotta say Corey Potter really shined. I mean, sarcastic.
He's already been sent back to Hartford.
What was that?
I mean explain to me why, when you have a superstar right winger who's out hurt, and you dress seven defensemen. I mean, explain that to me. Why not dress three goaltenders last night too? I mean,
that's right.
What? I mean, it's
exactly
just,
right.
I just don't get it.
That is the theme of this season. I just don't get it. I mean, he dresses 65 forwards every other game, but now that Gabrick's out, it's time to go seven defensemen for the first time this year. I don't have enough fingers on both hands to point the blame at what I see wrong with this team. I hate to say it, but this team sucks. What an uninspired game I saw. Shotgun, Dan Ellis, Doc Ellis.
You know, Bill Parcells had a famous line that I use to this day. You are what your record says you are. And right now they are, what, one or two games under .500, which is mediocre, and that's what they are. I don't think they suck. I think they suck at times. But they are just mediocre, right in the middle. Mediocre.
I don't think they're mediocre.
You'd be happy. Mediocre would be an improvement.
Yeah, I love my team. You guys know that. Everybody loves this team. But I've said this a couple of weeks ago. The Rangers, when was the last time the Rangers won four games in regulation in a row? Have they done it this year other than that first 10, 12 games? They don't win. They don't win. That's not even mediocre. When you don't win, you're a loser. And I just see the team is a losing team. There's so many good lines that have come out. You know, one of my favorites from this year is, we got a team of third liners, but we don't have a good third line. That's one of my favorite ones.
Yeah, that's a good one. There's been a lot of good ones.
Yeah, there's been a lot of good. Let's face it. And, you know, Ranger fans, you know, if you don't, if you, you know, you have to laugh or you're going to cry. I mean, they don't win on a consistent basis. So, come on. I mean, as much as we want to root for this team, I give me something, Nashville. The Islanders even took them to the shootout. Now, I know they peppered Dan Ellis. They had almost 40 shots. They couldn't lift the puck. They kept everything low on him. It's a lot of the things we've been talking about. They go to the side of the net. They don't go in front of the net. And I missed the Michael Delzato. Maybe you could fill me in on this. I saw him get called for a penalty. We all said, for what? And apparently it was a justified call, and then he mouthed off. Is that what happened? I couldn't see where I was.
Yeah. And then, you know, he got the 2 minutes for unsportsmanlike. And then, you know, we talked about it before the show. You said you didn't see, you couldn't see Tortorella going nuts on him, but he got back to the bench. And I said in the open game thread last night that it looked like Fonzie wanted to punch Delzato like he was the jukebox at Arnold's. he was just going crazy. And then Delzato tries to sit down on a bench, and he wouldn't let him sit where he wanted to sit. He pointed him down the end of the bench and made him move, and it was just, it was terrible.
Yeah. And we're speaking of which, again, Brashear, who was the first people to tell you that Brashear was out of here? Our friend Ricky gave us the scoop on that one again. He got waived today. And the Coda Leak and what was the other one he told us about? He's just been on all. He's been on with the Kovalchuk. So, once again, I wish he had some more. I'd like to see some of these other clowns get traded away. But I just want to say the other thing that I heard, not from Ricky, but from another source, S-A-U-C-E, I like to call him, another source is that Tortorella has lost the young players. The young players, and when I see stuff like what went on last night, I mean, how can you... Why is he going crazy like that? I mean, I didn't see it, so let you guys decide. Was it warranted, or is that how a coach is supposed to act? I mean, it's not like the kid's 19 years old. I mean, I'll play devil's advocate here. Maybe you tell me if I'm right or if I'm wrong. He's 19 years old. He's been played to death. He never gets a night off. The guy is used to winning. He's on a losing team. And, you know, he can lose it once in a while, you know. But to be called out by a coach, does that show you that shouldn't a coach have a better temperament than that on the – at least during the game? Take him inside the locker room and chew his ass off out. But to embarrass a guy like that, I don't know. So you tell me what you guys think and what you think, Jim, on that topic.
Okay. Well, we'll finish the Tortorella conversation, then we'll get around to Brashear because I have some thoughts on Brashear as well, and I want to get your take on that. As far as what went on last night with Tortorella, he's a bully. He's a bully. Plain and simple. He's a bully. He likes to rant and rave, and he'll yell and scream. And it's all about intimidation. He's a bully. And you've yet to see, with the exception of maybe Sean Avery just a little bit, not even that much, just a little bit. He gave it to Avery on the bench, what was that, about 2 weeks ago? You remember that? He gave it to Avery on the, maybe that was about 2 weeks ago. And Avery kind of waved him off and rolled his eyes. One of these days, somebody, I don't know who it's going to be because I don't see the temperament on this team, but eventually somebody's going to crack and go back at him. And that's the only way you get. That's the only way you take care of a bully. So that'll be interesting to see if that ever happens. I mean, let's face it. There's a couple of guys that maybe have that temperament. Maybe Delzato has it, but you know, like you said, he's still 19. So you know, he may be a little time before you see it from him, but could be Avery. He's got that kind of temperament. Hey, maybe it'd be Brandon Prust. Who knows? It won't be Drury, I'll tell you that. And it probably won't be Mark Stahl. But
he's Ambien on ice. Drury's Ambien on ice, Ambien off ice. He's just Ambien.
Yeah, I mean, Tortorella's, he's a bully. He's a bully. Look at it. I mean, you see it with the reporters. You see it with his players. He's just a, he's a bully. That's all he is. He's a bully.
Well, I'm watching the chat room, and Marcy Braverman, she's a diehard Ranger fan. She's in defensive torts, and let's face it, everybody's got their opinion. It's all valid. And she has asked the question, and maybe you can answer this, and maybe we'll get some calls, and they'll answer this. What would you like Torts to do with this team? Putting the yelling aside, what advice could you possibly give Tortorella to help this team? Jim?
As head coach, you know what? We're going to – let's go to – let's since he's not here, we'll quote Mandar. He's the coach of this hockey team. I'm not supposed to know how to fix this hockey team. He's supposed to know. And what does Mandar keep saying about Torts? I don't know. I don't know how to fix this team. Has he got a bad mix of players? Yeah, I think so. I think he's missing some key elements in the locker room, without a doubt. And he's missing some key components on the ice, on and off the ice. But I mean, they're poorly constructed. How many new players did they bring in in the offseason?
They're almost gone. They're almost all gone.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. And now many of them are gone? Kotalik is gone. Higgins is gone. Brashear is gone.
Boyle and Leeson are still left, and they've been non-factors.
Right.
Gabrick
obviously.
Yeah, Gabrick, I mean, yeah. And who else?
Prospel?
Okay. Vinny's been okay when Gabrick's been okay.
Right.
You know, Vinny's been all right. I mean, you know. So, I think getting back to that guy Paul, but Paul brought up a good point. The young guys are not progressing. I mean, you think about it, Dubinsky and Callahan are under. I mean, I know Dubinsky is Callahan, but they're kind of under their production from last year. So I don't know. Yeah. I'll be the first one to tell you that the team he has is, you know, his hands are tied, I mean, talent-wise. I mean, you know, with those two buffoons on defense, the R&R, I mean, I could live with Rosa. I said it. I live with Rosa. Right now, Redden, to me, I can't think of a worse defenseman right now. Right now, after seeing him live and in person, I just couldn't believe what I was seeing.
I can only think of one that contributes less than he does on a nightly basis. Roman Indoor is the only one I can think of that was worse.
and me and High C were talking before the show. He called me and interrupted me as he always does. And you know we'll get to the Brashear. And I guess this is a good way to segue into the Brashear talk, is that he reminds me of when the Rangers got Marty McSorley, how inept he was at what he was supposed to do, and that he just never did anything. So,
just tomorrow – I have there's a story going up on Blue Shirt Banner. It goes up first thing in the morning, and it's a look at the first season, because as of Friday night when the Rangers play the Penguins, they will have completed what amounts to a full season under John Tortorella, and so it's a look at that. So anybody that wants to check that out, it will be up first thing in the morning.
I mean, doesn't it seem, you know, and this is a Tortorella thing. Listen, when a coach says something, I know us Ranger fans listen. I know the rest of the sports world could give a crap about hockey. But when they, you know, when somebody talks about hockey and fans like us and the Ranger fans, you say something, I remember it. It just doesn't go out in the wind. John Tortorella came in here saying Tom Rennie, his team was way out of shape. His team was not in game shape and Camp Tortorella, and then he's going to get this team ready to play and go 60 minutes. And, you know, listen, I hold you accountable when you start saying stuff like that. And
well,
the fact is, Jim, let me just finish this point. Tortorella had more success with Rennie's guys than he has with his own guys that experienced his physically fit camp. I'm done.
All right. Well, just I don't want to give too much away because I do like people to come read our website, but let me read you a quote, okay?
Okay.
And this is in the story tomorrow. We had lost our zip at some point. We were a fast, puck-possessive hockey club that was determined and worked very hard and moved the puck well. We've gotten away from that, and that's why we made the change. Torts is certainly a lot more fiery and a lot different in his approach to the game and the players. He's going to bring that fiery attitude, and a lot of the games we seem to be missing it. And that was Glenn Sather commenting on the firing of Tom Rennie and the reason for hiring John Tortorella. So a season later, and again, I don't want to give too much of this away because I want people to come read it. A season later, are we a fast, puck-possessive hockey club? Do we work very hard? Are we determined?
No.
Are they? Do they work hard? Are they determined? Do they move the puck well?
No.
So...
failure.
What's changed? Failure.
Failure.
The only constant is mediocrity.
Right.
So anyway, the full story will be up tomorrow morning, 5 a.m. So enjoy it or don't enjoy it over while you have your breakfast and coffee or whatever. And I think you'll find it interesting.
It's just a mix of a lot. I think, like I said before, I don't think they have the horses. I don't think they have the mules. They don't have it's a laundry list of problems. And when you bring in a lot of guys in the off season that you know that Tortorella had some input on who to get.
Yeah, Marcy's talking about that now in the chat room. Marcy, if you think Tortorella didn't have a big hand in the remaking of this roster, remaking or the players that were brought in, he had a big part of it, a big hand in it.
Yeah,
he had to have said, I want some of these guys. I can get them to play for me. And, again, mediocrity.
They wanted it. I mean, really, Cota Leak couldn't get out of here fast enough. He even accepted a trade to a team he didn't want to be traded to. There's no movement clause.
Right.
I was joking around yesterday. Brian Boyle has a no movement clause. That's how bad it's left. But, you know, it's true. I mean, Cota Leak wants out of here, and Brashear feels like he's been done wrong. But listen, Brashear wasn't done wrong. He did it. He was responsible for his own demise. I hope somebody claims it. But, everybody wants to point the blame finger. I think if the Rangers had a good team and a more veteran squad, I think Tortorella works. But, you know, he's in such a position to win. And, you know, maybe there's somewhere a balance between a Rennie and a Tortorella. I like the fiery, in-your-face accountability coaches. But then again, you got to be accountable, too. You can't go to a press conference and say, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what the problem is. I can tell you what the problem is. Everybody in this chat room could tell you the problem. You could tell me the problems. I mean, you just watch the games. You got defensemen who positionally are okay, but they don't tie up anybody in front of the net. They don't they don't, of course, clear the net. They don't stand up for their goaltender. And they collapse around him a lot of the times. And how many times do you see goals go off guys' skates? Because they're in the crease. They're being pushed to the crease by the opposing centers. That's the defense. That's the first thing. And, you know, and I think the thing that gets to the Rangers, you know, gets in their craw of the fans about Tortorella is the stubbornness. Carry seven defensemen. Get another assistant coach in the game. I don't care if Jim Schoenfeld's at the practices. Get him in the game so we can teach these kids in the game what's wrong, what's going on. I mean, you know, maybe Schoenfeld could lace him up and replace Redden. He can't be any worse. And I'm sure he could do a better job clearing the crease. Last night, how many times did you see them clear up the puck up the middle? I mean, it's hockey 101. Don't clear the – go to the boards. So that's the defense. The offense, stop with the perimeter play. You don't have the skill level to be perimeter team. You got to crash the net. You got to get dirty. You got to score in the paint. I know you don't have the big guys. I know this. Other than Ryan Callahan, nobody even goes near it. I mean, and he's a little guy. I don't know. I mean, I saw a lot of shots last night, but I didn't see many quality shots. I don't know what you guys watching the game. Did you think the Rangers were all over them?
No. Well, you mentioned it before, and I kind of forgot to make the point. You said they had 40 shots, but not a lot of them were real good quality scoring chances. You know, just, you know, again, perimeter shooting. I'm going to read you another funny quote. This is not from the story I put up for tomorrow, but I just thought you'd get a kick out of this. I like to play a relentless style. I like to be moving the whole time I'm out there for my shift. I pride myself in my work ethic. I've always liked the way Tortorella's teams have played. They don't seem to take their foot off the gas pedal very often. Playing against the Rangers, they were one of the hardest teams to play against. You know, take a guess who said that.
Give it to me again.
I like to play a relentless style. I like to be moving the whole time I'm out there for my shift. I pride myself in my work ethic. I've always liked the way Tortorella's teams have played. They don't seem to take their foot off the gas pedal very often. Playing against the Rangers, they were one of the hardest teams to play against.
Playing against the Rangers. Well,
it is not Chris Drury. The chat room went nuts. They all thought it was Drury. It is not Chris Drury.
I'll go with Avery.
That was Chris Higgins upon hearing he had been traded to the New York Rangers.
Wow. He was invisible last night, Higgins. I mean, it was like he wasn't even on the team.
So actually, it was just like he was still on the team. Why don't we take a few phone calls? And just so you guys know, phone calls 646-478-4692. You guys want to vent, whatever you want to talk about, give us a call. We're going to have Nick is going to join us in a little while, one of the co-writers on Blue Shirt Banner. Also, we're going to have Greg from Metro Hockey. We're going to put together, and hopefully Jolton Joe Fortunato will join us in the 9 o'clock hour, put together a little bloggers roundtable and discuss what's going on the last few days. But first, we will take a phone call from the 631 area code. 631-849, you're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
This is Critical. What's up, Jim?
Critical, welcome to the program. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing good. How you doing?
Hey, Chris. How are you doing, man?
Patty, what's up?
I'm a little bit mellow tonight. I think I blew out my voice.
Yeah, I can tell. I'm used to seeing you just welling out on everybody, you know, just doing what's the best.
Yeah, it was exactly what I was doing. I was just yelling and screaming, acting like an idiot.
Yeah, I heard you were being exceptionally loud at the game last night.
I was. I was trying to entertain people. It's such a sad thing.
We were hoping we'd hear you.
Hey, I'm sure you entertained the crowd better than the Rangers did last night.
I hope so. Well, my cousins, I went to the game with my cousins, and they laughed. They had a good time.
I'm
they don't
sure.
get out much, so. So they really don't. I mean, I love my cousins, but they're not real. They're total opposites. They're like very introverted. And my cousin Anthony, he goes nuts, like about sports. He's quiet, but at the end of the game, we'll do my imitation, and he goes, "Nashville, you don't even deserve a franchise." He's yelling from section 411. I'm like, "Anthony, calm down." And he's just like, it was a total circus. So anyway, that. So what did you got? Well, what's your question or a comment you got, Chris, going tonight?
I want to talk about Torts.
Okay.
Personally, I don't think that this is his fault more than it is the roster as a whole. Because when Sather ties us, like, hands behind our back with, what's it, 20 mil between Roosevelt, Redden, Drury, and Brashear, that's more of a hindrance than anything, because that's, like, two lines of friggin' 20-goal scorers.
It's true. You think about it, you know, they have to go with the on the cheap with the leasings and the whole thing, you know, because the salary cap hinders them from getting north-south players that can chip in goals as well as crash that net.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely, definitely.
So, yeah, that's a good point.
The only thing I'm worried about is I'm worried about when the CBA expires in 2011, like, what's going to happen? Is there going to be another lockout? Are they going to modify the salary cap, change the rules again, you know, because something crazy always happens around here.
Well, I hope there's no lockout, because if there's a lockout, they're going to lose the fans that they've gotten, what you call it? They're going to lose a lot of the fans that they're building up, because there's a kind of a groundswell with the young people. You know, when I talk young, I'm talking, you know, the 20 to 30 age range. People are getting into hockey now.
Yeah, another thing with the KHL coming up, if they can keep affording to pay their players, if we do open up the lockout, people are going to go to the KHL and not come back. Possibly.
Yeah.
So you got to worry about that too, losing your player base.
Well, we could afford to lose it. Maybe Drury will go to the cage.
please, or you get two goals. So,
what do you think about that?
Here's my argument to what Critical said as far as the being handcuffed by the roster. I understand what you're saying, that, you know, he's got these three albatrosses on this roster, but He's made very little effort to punish them. Well, you know, for the underachieving play, he has. Why not call up somebody from Hartford and sit them on the bench? It's not gonna. He's made no effort to try something different other than juggling the lines with the crap he's got. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Why not, you know, you've got a couple of guys in Hartford that could inject some energy into that team. Why not try it? I mean, last night, the guy who scores 97.5% of your goals is out, and the Rangers dress Corey Potter as a seventh defenseman.
I think they brought him up.
My aunt Ruthie didn't know shit from Shinola when it came to hockey, and even I think she would know. Why not call up that Russian kid who plays the same position and might be able to score a few goals?
Who, Grachev?
Yeah, why not?
I mean, that's the one. I mean, Corey Potter. You might as well call up Colonel Potter, Harry Potter. What the hell did they need a seventh defenseman for? It's mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. You know what the Rangers are? You know what the Rangers are? The Rangers are lost. I don't know if you guys watch the TV show Lost. I know Eddie does, but that's what the Rangers are. They are lost. It's just every week you watch them play and you think you might have an answer to a question, and they give you 15 more questions. You turn one corner and there's another 20 characters that you have no answers for. They are just the Dharma Initiative. That, those are your New York Rangers. They are just, half the team is in the front of the plane, and the other half is on this other side of the island because they fell off on the tail. Nothing makes sense with this team. They are lost. Previously on Lost, and they could just show the Rangers' last game. That's the Rangers.
Yeah. No, that's true enough, but I got a feeling that Critical has a defense of Corey Potter.
I'm getting texts from people who are listening to the show that heard my Colonel Potter comment. I'm getting Colonel Potter. I got a text that says horse hockey.
Horse hockey, right? That's what he used to say.
Horse hockey.
Wow.
Lost. That's all they are.
I don't get is why they dress Potter and not Voros. I mean, like, Voros would at least try. I mean, Potter was only asked, 8 minutes, and he had 4 minutes in penalties?
Yeah.
Voros wouldn't have taken penalties, and he would have tried to do something offensive-wise.
Well, yeah, you make a good point, because I thought that Prust, so there should have been a fight in that game to kind of liven it up a little bit. And it never happened. And I maybe it's because Nashville doesn't really carry a guy who can throw. I mean, they had Bielak. I mean, Bielak could have went with I thought they would start a fight because it was pretty lackluster. Even though the Rangers got that goal in the second period, it was kind of like, oh, God.
It was a fluke. It was possible skate. Like, he didn't even swing at the puck. He just bounced off his skate, off of Ellis's pad, and then off the board.
Yeah.
Send Proust out there and have him go get the goaltender.
What did I say?
Did I say Proust again?
You're with the Proust.
Yeah, I'm doing it subconsciously now. I don't know. It's becoming
just
a mental block.
I always think in God we trust, in God we trust, and Proust
right.
never sleeps, and all that.
The show's taking a real turn when Eddie's correcting me on the names.
Yeah, it's just the other way around.
I just want to, send Prust. Send him in the goaltender's face. And give him a snow shower. Anything that'll get, that might get a fight brewing and get a little energy going. But Corey Potter, that's all I got to say. Previously on Lost. Corey Potter, dress a all right, fine. You want to dress Voros? You want to give him a sweater for a night? Let him. Sure, why not? But dress a forward. I don't care. Dress Guy Lafleur. Dress Wolf Paymon.
Anybody?
Go forward. You don't
dress
the
Gilroy as a forward and then put Potter in. That wouldn't have been so bad.
Corey Potter.
Yeah, and they were like, oh, Potter's being showcased. Showcased. For what? Oh. I mean, really, that's why they got to show him on. And after that performance, who the hell's going to want him? He's sticking the ice up. It was, ridiculous. So,
hockey. Bring back Nedved. Anybody.
Didn't Nedved have a tryout and didn't make it?
Yeah.
How the hell do you not make this team?
That is when you know your hockey career is over when you go home. Hey, Peter, how did the tryout with the Rangers go? Not good, man. Donald Brashear and Aaron Voros made the team and I didn't. that's like losing a movie part to Paulie Shore or something like that, did you get the part in that movie? No, they gave it to Paulie Shore. Carrot Top got the gig.
Carrot Top's in the new Scorsese film.
We really need to tank the season. I'm telling you, just call it Velikat. If no one takes him on reentry, put him in the net, broken finger and all. Who cares? Dress friggin' Lundqvist as a friggin' defenseman or something.
You might get hurt blocking a shot.
Yeah. Oh. We could dress 8 defensemen for the Penguins game on Friday night.
You know,
I mean,
what? We might not even have to worry about tanking. I got news for you.
Yeah, it may just happen naturally. You know what I'm really surprised at? I'm surprised at the amount of Ranger fans that are behind the tank, quote unquote. I'm really surprised at that. Usually you'll see, you know, you have a couple of people that'll say, you know, they ought to just tank the season, you know, be it the Mets or the Giants, the Rangers, whoever. And then you'll have a couple of people, no, you can't do that. You got to play for pride. You can, you know, you play to win the games and blah, blah, blah. But I'm surprised how many Ranger fans just want to crap can the whole thing. I mean, it's just enough is enough,
wow.
You know, and let's Taylor Hall, here we come.
Well,
yeah, but
I think it's because, you know, I think, first of all, we haven't, you know, youth and talent haven't been two words that have gone together in Rangerville for a long time. And
we got our pride.
Right. and I think, you know, we all know that this team is going nowhere, even if they make the playoffs. I mean, Hank can play like Terry Sawchuk, Brodeur, and, you know, throw another Hall of Famer, Glenn Hall, in there together, and he is, it's not going to save it. Gabbert can score 3 goals a game. They still would lose. The team, maybe that's overstating a little bit, but still, in the come playoff, can you see this team as a playoff team? We will get railroaded by anybody we played. I see they don't win. They don't win. I keep saying that. They don't win.
It's not even that. He's going to burn himself out in the Olympics. You know he's going to be playing hard, like harder for Team Sweden than he is for the Rangers, even though he is playing his hardest now as it is. But he's going to be playing even harder then. He's dead.
Because he could win something with Sweden. He could win the gold medal.
Yeah.
You think Hank thinks the Rangers are going to win the Cup this year?
No.
He's just trying to get him in the playoffs, playing his ass off, trying to get him in the playoffs. And then he's got to come back to Aaron Voros. Right.
Corey Potter. The Dharma Initiative.
President Roosevelt.
President Roosevelt and the musical backup goaltenders every week. What is with that nonsense? Zabba Johnson. What
Clappet
is
season,
wrong with
duck
that
season,
guy?
Clappet season, duck season.
Zabba season.
Well, you know,
Zabba season.
You'll know the season's over when they stop calling them up and they call up Valiquette, and it's like, oh, we're done for sure. Sutter knows it's selling time.
Well, they would be up for. I'm not up for tanking, but I just think it's going to happen naturally.
Unless they go on a streak like we did at the beginning of the season where we won 9 straight. I mean, if we win the rest of our games to playoff time, we'll be, what, like 6th seed or something? I don't know.
Oh, it's over. Come on. Let's play the funeral march. I mean, let's start the funeral procession now. I mean, I hate to be so low. I mean, I just don't see where the goals come from. I don't see where the heart. I see no heart on the ice. I mean, I've seen stranger things happen. I mean, listen, they could make the playoffs if everybody else is worse than they are. I mean, that's your only hope, that this conference is so bad that teams are worse than the Rangers who can't put 3 games in a row in regulation or winning streak together.
I hear Carolina's making a comeback.
Well, they got everything straightened out with Eric Staal and guys coming through. Do we have an Eric Staal? I mean, well, I guess Gabbert.
Yeah, Mark Staal, but that don't count.
You have a Mark Staal. And, you know, whatever.
We got an offense that's stalled.
That's right. We got an offense that's stalled. And you talk about the offense stalling this. You know, people pointing fingers with that, and today on the Twitter, the Twatter, the Twixter, what do they call that thing? I just put the question out there about Brandon Dubinsky, and holy cow, it was a total mess out there. The fact that I questioned that Brandon Dubinsky should, what do you think? Do you think he should be moved? And I got a lot of hate mail on that, brother. And I was like, you know, he's young, he's blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and Paulie D called him Vinny LeCavalier last week. And I don't even think he's Vinny LeCavalier's butler. I don't think he could suffice to that, but I wonder where everybody weighs in on that. Is Brandon Dubinsky as good? I think he's overrated by Ranger fans. I mean, is there something wrong about that? I mean, that we overrate a lot of our young guys, first of all, because we're not used to having young guys. The salary cap has forced Mr. Magoo, Glenn Sather, to you know, invest in some young guys. And Gordy Clark, God bless him, the only guy with any kind of brains in the whole organization,
is
drafting these guys. He must be like, really, he's like the only sane guy in this insane asylum. I think if Brandon Dubinsky was on, I don't know, say the Atlanta Thrashers or the Minnesota Wild, that since the Ranger fans would be like, oh, this guy's an okay player, we wouldn't even recognize him. But as Ranger fans, because he's young and he has had flashes of being a very good player. But my question to you and the Ranger audience is he a top six forward of this league? Right now, is he a top six forward?
Right now?
No.
I'd say he is. I mean, on this team, he is. But that's not saying much.
Right, Chris. Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean,
on
that's...
this team, he is. But if he is, if he's on the Pittsburgh Penguins, is he on the top six?
No, he's probably fourth line on the Pittsburgh at least.
On LA?
I mean, run down the conference really quick. He's not top six at Washington. Is he top six on the Devils?
No.
Probably not.
Probably not. No.
Top six at Buffalo?
I don't know who the Senators are.
He's obviously not top six in Pittsburgh. Not top six in Ottawa. I don't know if he's
top
12 in
Pittsburgh.
I'm laughing here. MJ,
he's their seventh defenseman.
NJB in the chat room just said Dancing Larry, and he's the top six forward on this team. You guys are freaking, I'm telling you, man.
Is he a top six forward with the Canadiens? Probably not, right?
No.
No, they got Coleman.
He's not top six in Philly. He's not top six in Tampa. Boston, maybe you can make an argument there, especially with Savard is still out, isn't he?
But if he wasn't out.
Okay, if he wasn't out, then no.
Oh.
Atlanta, okay, yeah. He's probably a top six forward on Atlanta. Florida, maybe. The Islanders, probably not. Carolina?
That's pretty sad.
I mean, Carolina? Toronto? Is he a top six forward in Toronto? And if he is, big deal. Toronto's the worst team in the conference. I mean, you know, I just named you 14 teams. I mean, you can look at the West and same thing. San Jose, the Blackhawks, the Avalanche, Coyotes, the Kings, Canucks, Predators. You know, he's not a top six forward on any of those teams. Anyway.
But he does show, when he comes to play, flashes of that. But, you know, everybody talks about, progression, and can you see I got land-based. Some guy said, oh, what are you, a Nostradamus that you can predict? But listen, I see a guy 3 or 4 years, I get a pretty good gauge. I mean, I watch hockey. We're Ranger fans. We can assess talent. I mean, I like the guy that he is. He loves to be a Ranger. He does. I mean, he loves it. I love him for being so passionate, and but he's not consistent with it. He's not consistent with his play, and this is things I've heard. I think he's immature. I think he's just an immature guy. It's just like what they said, and you know, we bashed Tortorella, and then I'm going to quote him, but when they said that he wasn't acting like a pro, I think it kind of spills over to his play on the ice. He doesn't bring it every night, even though, you know, he needs to be every shift doing that. And I just think that, yeah, I mean, you really put in context with me, Jim, when you went that route with, is he a top six forward on any other team? And the answer is, at least this conference, no.
And at least half of the West, he's not either. You know, the first team that I can look at on the list of teams in this league and say he is definitely a top six forward, Calgary. Because I know that Kotalik and Higgins are top six forwards on that team. And if those two are top six forwards, then Brandon Dubinsky's a top six forward. But that's the first team. I mean, you're talking, you know, you got to look at 23 teams in the league before you come to one that you can definitely say, yes, he's a top six forward. And that's only because we already dumped our garbage on that team. I mean, you know, let's face facts. You know, everybody loves Brandon Dubinsky because, you know, he's the young guy. And, you know, like Eddie said, you know, a Ranger fan, always wanted to be a Ranger. Well, you know what? I always wanted to be a Ranger, too, but I'm fat, old, and slow. So you don't want me as your first line center either.
You and Donald Brashear have a lot in common.
Yeah.
Except that Jim can skate better.
All right.
Jim can skate better.
I might be able to skate better. All right, Critical. We got a whole bunch of other phone calls we're gonna get to. Thank you as always for calling
Take care,
in,
brother.
You're welcome.
And we'll talk to you next week. All right.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Take care.
Okay. Nice talking.
All right.
Bye. Bye-bye. We got into it, and I didn't even get to play Critical, his sound effect. All right, let's
play it now. Critical's back on the phone. Crit, this is your sound
effect. I'm afraid, Dan.
Nice. All right, we got Greg and Nick are going to be coming on the line in just a second, but why don't we take this phone call? It's been on hold for a while. 718-847, you're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
Hey, guys, this is Imprisoned Ranger fans.
I'm
Hey,
Hello.
How
are
you?
How's it going?
You got your speakers turned up there in the background? Or
yeah,
that,
I just shut them off, sorry.
All right, that's all right. It was just funny to hear that.
So I'm completely distraught with this team, just like you guys. You know, I'm a longtime fan and been dealing with the Sather saga for as long as I can remember. And I've been recently talking to a few of the Rangers that are on Twitter, Avery and Gabrick, and I actually got Avery to private message respond to me, and because I retweeted, he said, "Don't you wish I would start saying some shit?" And I said to him, I was like, I wish you would, but I would hate to see you be made an example of. And he said, no worries about that. He has no fear of torts. So I think there's a lot of, you know, it's pretty obvious. There's a lot of drama going on in that locker room that we don't, you know, hear about or see about in the press. But I don't know. I think there's a lot of unrest for the Tortorella, and the players are probably had enough. I think that plays a lot into not necessarily them being not skilled enough. I mean, it's pretty obvious they're not skilled enough. They make every goalie that we come up against, besides Fatso, look like, you know, Patrick Waugh. But I don't know. I just needed to.
I was going to say that that's got to be dead on because there's a serious disconnect, and we've been talking about it between the players and the coach. I don't know whose fault it is. I mean, it's easy to blame the coach and these things, but you know, listen, we just spent a half hour blaming him. So, But the thing is that his style got shelved real early. Now, whether he didn't, you know, we went into that losing streak, and all of a sudden, the safest death was scrapped. And, yes, I think, and again, like I said at the top of the show, that some people in the know have said that he's kind of lost the young players and possibly the defensemen as far as maybe, listen, they're not as receptive to him as they should be, or maybe so I think this – and this wasn't just us. It was Andrew Gross and other, you know, people, beat writers are all much closer to the action than we are. But they've said there's a serious disconnect between the players and the coach. And you're right. Avery's not afraid of Tortorella, but, you know.
Well, prime example, last night when Delzato did, you know, he did the wrong thing and mouthing off to the refs, but when he got back to the bench and you see Torts flipping out on him, there's no eye contact between the two. There's no respect between Delzato and Tortorella. He takes the ream and goes into the bench, but he says the right things to the press, but you know Delzato is telling him to go shove it. You know, he could care less what Tortorella's got to say because they don't have that, you know, mutual respect for each other. Tortorella's on his own agenda, wants to appease the high horses of Dolan and Sather, and, you know, Delzato's trying to make a name for himself. I kind of wish Delzato didn't get drafted by this franchise because he deserves better. He's a great player, you know. He's up there with DeShane and Tavares and the Myers of the new, you know, generation that just came in here, and he's not getting a fair introduction. He's getting so much pressure put
on him
in his first season.
But you know what? But you know what? Michael Delzato will be around long after John Tortorella.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Long after Glenn Sather's hired three more coaches.
Sure. I fully agree, but it's just – it sucks because these guys get an awkward transition, you know, and it'll affect their careers. I feel like like Delzato hit all that kind of pressure mounted in his early seasons. He's not going to be – who knows? Maybe he'll be a better player for it. I don't know what to say to that. But
well, I think you see – oh, go ahead, Jim.
Well, I just want to say that the more I'm thinking about it, you made an interesting comment when you talk about Tortorella's agenda. And I've brought that up on the show before, that I wonder sometimes if he just continues to play some of these players so that he can throw his hands up and say,
see, that's what I think,
you know,
too. I agree. I feel like as long as he keeps Redden and Drury and Roosevelt out there, he's home free. It don't matter what he does.
I really thought, you know, I kind of started developing that thought when Valiquette was sent down and they asked Tortorella about it, about a veteran goaltender, and he just said, you know, all he kept saying was that their goaltending situation was a mess. And I just thought he was kind of sending a little message there that, you know, kind of taking some shots at the front office. And I just kind of wonder if he's just going to, you know, ride this dead donkey across the finish line to the end of the season in the hopes that he could say, well, you know, look at the crappy hand I was dealt, and you know, in a kind of a power struggle at the end of the season, you know. So it's an interesting comment when you say the agenda, you know, that he has his own agenda.
But he's
Eddie, what
you
know, do you think?
Trying to make out for his own benefit. Whatever happens is not really his fault because, like you said, this is the hand I was dealt, and I couldn't do nothing with it. I got 7-2 in the hole, and I tried to go all in. I don't know.
Right.
Eddie, what do you think?
Well, I want to kind of address the Delzato thing, and I think it's affected Matt Gilroy more than Delzato.
Right.
He
kind of had, before I seen either of them play, I heard that Gilroy was the offensive, you know, defenseman, not Delzato. I know Delzato was the playmaker, but, you know, Hobie Baker over here, he was supposed to be Mr. College Hockey Player of the Year. He seems like he digressed into, you know, a freshman in college in the NHL world.
Yeah, I think You know, he won the Hobie Baker Award, and he's an older guy. You know, he came in at 25. I could see his game being more affected if indeed the Tortorella, you know, attitude or agenda is in force, as we might suspect. Again, we don't really know, but things but the young players are not progressing. Let's face it. And Delzato has managed to have a pretty good season, and from what the people I've talked to about Michael is he's kind of, and I have said this before, he's not an arrogant guy, but he's confident about who he is and what he can do, which
is
great.
He's more mature than Dubinsky, for sure. You can see it in his interviews. You know, he voices himself with 10 times more confidence than Dubinsky.
Yes, that's true. And what?
Well, I want to get – we got a whole bunch of callers online, but in prison, if you don't mind, I want to put you back on hold, and then I'm going to bring you on a little later in the show unless you want to call back.
Yeah, I'll call back. That would be great.
Okay. All right.
Thanks for the
call. Back
good.
In a little while. I want to get Greg and Nick on the line. Thanks.
All right.
All right. 646-478-4692. As always, that is the number to call if you want to get in here. And let's bring in Greg from Metro Hockey and Nick, one of my partners on BlueShirtBanter.com. Greg, Nick, you're on the show. Welcome to the program. How's it going, guys?
Pretty good, Jim.
Good. Nick, are you there?
Yeah, how are you guys?
Hey, buddy. You all packed for the Olympics?
Yeah, pretty much.
Excellent. As we were saying last night on the show, Nick is headed to Vancouver in a couple of days, and he'll be checking out some of the games and bringing us some updates and calling into the show and letting us know what's going on. So while we have you guys here, we want to obviously talk about what's going on with the team, but I want to start with the Brashear thing. And I want to first, I'm going to throw my opinion out there, and then I'll let you guys, agree, disagree, or voice your opinion. This Brashear thing, I think, is very strange for a lot of reasons. I think there's a little bit of a cover-up going on here. I think that the Rangers and Donald Brashear are trying to figure out a parting of the ways somehow, and I think this is it. I think there's a little more to it than just Brashear asking for a trade. It was kind of buried in the story that came out originally this morning, and then it kind of blew up and became a bigger story with the Rangers putting him on waivers. And I just think there's a lot more to this story than we're hearing. And I think this is a way for the two sides to kind of figure a way out of this, for the Rangers to get rid of a mistake without admitting they made a mistake, and maybe for Brashear to just kind of ride off into the sunset and not look like a bad guy. Let me get your thoughts on it first.
Oh, I think the thing is just deteriorated. I mean, it's once when Brandon Prust was brought into the equation, it was over, it just spelled the end. And then he was being benched, and it's deteriorated, and it's not even like they're even giving him the courtesy of making a trade. Now it's like, listen, you're going to be waived. Somebody picks you up, fine. If not, you're playing for the Wolfpack. So I think it's completely. I guess after casino night, they had words. that was it. So that's my take on it. And it was a total PR disaster bringing him after what he did to Betts. And I'll be the first one to tell you, listen, I didn't realize how bad his skills had deteriorated as a fighter. But I should have known better. I mean, he was 37. But I had wanted this guy in a Ranger uniform, and I know that's against the popular opinion. But I had wanted him in a Ranger uniform for many years. But as usual, we got the guy about 10 years after his usefulness. So that's where I stand.
Yeah, I'm going to apologize for this is the last time I will ever do this. But I officially once again apologize for being behind the Brashear move, and that's it. I'm done. Greg, give us your thoughts.
Well, I just want to say, I mean, I had a chance to interview him before the season. Surprisingly, Rangers PR didn't do a damn thing about it, which we all know they like to get their little Nazi hands on everything they can. But
the Kremlin.
He was such a nice guy to me. He said, you know, how he likes to play the piano, which I found to be pretty amazing. But so I was really happy to have him here. I was really happy to see him out there. It just didn't work out. And Tortorella begged Sather to bring him in. Everybody blamed Sather, but this was really a Tortorella move. You could tell after Brashear knocked out Betts in the playoffs last year, Tortorella didn't say anything bad about it. And Tortorella is the type of coach that would say something bad about anything. I don't know if there's a cover-up, like you're saying. I mean, there very well could be. I mean, after all, this is Rangers PR. You know, they will do anything. The guy could be dead, and they'll make it seem like he was just waived. But they're trying to do it so that,
like,
you know, Bashir will get his money and that, you know, the Rangers will get rid of him. This is the only way to do it. If Brashear announces his retirement, Rangers are on the hook for his salary, and I think it still counts against the cap. I'm not sure how that whole thing works out. I don't have the pocket edition of the CBA with me right now. But if he gets claimed this year, Rangers don't have to pay a thing. If he gets claimed next year, then the Rangers have to pay, I don't know what the percentage is of his salary, and that counts against the cap. So the Rangers, they did a smart thing by waiving him now. The only question is, will somebody take him? I actually think Washington would take him back. They need an enforcer. I was reading some of their boards, the fans, they want an enforcer. And I think they would take Brashear back. They're the only team I can see in the NHL that would actually want him.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you something. If Washington takes him back, then we will have the last laugh on japersrink.com. That's the Capitals site on SB Nation, because I got a tweet from them this afternoon. Good luck getting rid of him with that contract from Japers Rink. So I'd love it to stick it in their face if they picked up Brashear.
Well, if the Rangers could get rid of Gomez, they can get rid of Brashear. That's how I look at it. If they, you know, say they found Bob Gainey up there and he sold, you know, Scott Gomez. I would like to know what he said in that conversation. He probably had nude pictures of Gainey's wife or something, because you don't just ship away a $7 million player like that. So if anybody can get it done, it would be Sather. And now we just have to wait and see, what happens.
Poor Bob Gainey had to retire because of that, in the aftermath of that deal.
Yeah, he got kicked out of Montreal. But from what I've heard, and this is again, you know, speculation, and is that Ovechkin really likes Brashear. He feels that one of the things the Capitals this year have gotten pushed around a little bit, and that's the possible inroad for him to go to Washington. And I know it's going to sound funny, but this is what I heard, and this comes from a good source, as I say, is that Brashear was being taught Russian lessons by Enver Leeson. So that's where the whole KHL came, the KHL rumors started with. So I don't know if he's brushing up to talk better with Ovechkin or what, but like you said, if you could bamboozle anybody taking it, Scott Gomez's contract, anything is possible. So, and, you know, Glenn Sather can call in his favors, and, you know, he's probably got a lot over the years since he's done a lot of favors for other teams.
Nick, we want to get your thoughts on this, but I just want to say real quick, Eddie, have you noticed this chat room tonight? It's buzzing.
It's hopping,
so,
baby, for an impromptu.
I know. So,
talk about it. We're also going to talk about this. We'll FAN and talk about college basketball.
We must be getting popular.
That's good.
We're waiting for Dave Maloney. That's what they want. They want Dave Maloney back.
I have to say,
poor Dave Maloney.
I want to congratulate you, Jim, for getting such a high-profile guest on the show the other night.
Well, it's actually the second time we've had Dave Maloney on this show. The first time
he was sober,
Dave Maloney. yeah, that was. If anybody listens to Howard Stern, you're familiar with Evil Dave Letterman. Well, that was Evil Dave Maloney the other night that we had on the show. So, Nick, let's get your thoughts on this Brashear thing.
Well, like you said, it was kind of buried in Andrew Gross's story today, and Brashear, when he referred to it, kind of acted like it was old news and like it was reported that he requested a trade like a month ago. And I don't know if you read the quotes or not, but He acted like he was actually very valuable to the team. I didn't understand that. Did you read the quotes?
Yeah, I did actually. Did he take a shot at Colt Knorr or something? They want a showman like Colt Knorr or something.
Yeah, he said, well, what do they want me to be, a showman like Colt Knorr? I just go out there and fight and play hockey and skate. And every time he did fight, he'd lose like everyone and then be injured a month after it.
Right. How about you just be a live body like Colt Knorr?
You know, I disagree with that. I don't think Colt Knorr is a showman in any shape or form. As a matter of fact,
Unless he's been hit in the head so many times, he confused Colt Knorr with another former Ranger fighter that went to Toronto, Ty Domi. Now, that was a showman.
Yeah. I mean, Huggy Bear is a guy who's going to sit there and whirl his fists and do the Marcus of Queensberry rules thing where he goes like this. That's a showman. Colt Knorr, he'll show you his fist and knock you out. That's all he's showing. So, and that was in Gross's column?
Yeah.
I'm glad that bumped out of here then. You don't talk about Colt Knorr that way.
Maybe he confused Colt Knorr with Ty Domi.
He confused anything. This guy's terrible. Get out!
That's it. He's banned from this show. Coming up next week, Donald Brashear will be on the show.
So what else? What else you got to aggravate me with?
Sound like you're in pain here, Eddie. Why don't you go have a shot with Maloney and go relax or something?
Me and Dave were drinking up last night, 25% off beverages.
And that was
great.
That must have lowered the beer to what, about $15 a cup?
$15 a cup, and they probably lowered the alcohol level to like 0.3%. I don't know, man. Guys, I can't believe he said that about Orr. I mean, what did Brashear do?
Nothing.
Nothing. Anyway, so that's
he had
my
one,
take.
One assist in like 36 games.
That was probably accidental.
Yeah,
let's bring John on real quick because John's always listening at work, so his time with us is always very limited. John, how are you? Welcome to the program. What's up?
I am here. I had a quick question, actually, about the whole Brashear placed on waivers thing because I'm not really up to date on how the whole waivers thing works. If somebody does claim him off waivers, which I don't really foresee happening, do the Rangers still have to pay his contract, or does his contract go to the next team?
It goes to the next team, but if they claim him on re-entry waivers, then the Rangers would pay half his salary like Dallas does with Avery.
I was about to say, because that's what happened with Sean Avery. I just wasn't sure how the whole waiver process worked, so that was really my big question.
Well, it's a question that I really didn't know the answer to either. That's one thing that I got to say, that when it comes to salary cap and salaries, I have no idea. And I really have no idea. I really have no aspirations to find out. I just want to be clueless.
The only salary that matters is our Block Talk Radio salary.
I'm not eating. All right, I'm having a pretzel.
Getting yelled at while you're on the air?
Yeah, people say, mouth is eating. Don't eat on the air.
The only salary you have to worry about is your Block Talk Radio salary, which we all know is six figures.
That's right. All right, I'm done with my pretzel. All right, everybody happy?
Right. John, you got anything else? You want to go back on hold so you can listen to the show?
Hold's fine. I just had a quick question about the whole contract waiver thing with Donald Brashear just didn't out of work. That's all really needed.
All right. Put you back on hold. Talk to you later. All right. We'll put John back on hold. And I'm going to bring in another caller. We got 631-612. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio with Jim and Eddie and Greg and Nick. Who's this?
Hey, guys. It's the owner of hockey.
Hello.
It's
owner of hockey.
The owner of hockey. Okay.
Yeah, I just thought that Henrik Lundqvist, I think he'll win the Rick Rocket Richard Trophy for the best of the NHL.
The best what?
Defenseman in the NHL.
Best defenseman is the Norris Trophy.
No, the Rocket Richard.
Have you been drinking, sir?
Is this Dave?
Is this Dave Maloney?
Is this Dave?
Is this
Dave? My ass happened.
No, it's the owner of hockey. This is the owner of hockey.
The owner of hockey. Okay, well, the owner of hockey should know that the Rocket Richard Trophy is given out to the leading goal scorer, not to a goaltender and not to a defenseman.
Listen, buddy, I know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
You're wrong.
Go ahead.
You want to give us another nugget? You want to tell us who's going to win the Norris Trophy for the Coach of the Year? You want to tell us who's going to win the Stanley Cup as the best team in the National League?
Yeah, the Islanders, because John Tavares owns Michael Delzato.
Oh.
Is this your friend Pete calling up by any chance?
Well, 13th place?
Not that I know of. Hey,
you got anything else?
Wait a minute.
Are you getting ready to go to China for training camp?
Yeah, I like Charles Wang. He's a great guy.
How about Little Wang? You like him?
There's an old Vulcan proverb. Only Nixon could go to China.
Hey, Mouth, Little Wang should lose weight just like you.
That's a good one.
Whoa,
I'm sure you're physically fit as well.
Fat jokes. He's calling with fat jokes. How many fat jokes do you and I make about each other every week? This guy thinks he's going to hurt me with a fat joke? I'm so goddamn fat, I go to McDonald's, I look at the menu and say, okay. Come with something better than that, you dumbass. Come on. Don't you have anything better to do? You don't have anything better to do than do this? Are you an Islander fan?
No.
Are you an Islander fan?
Blue Jacket fan.
I didn't know they had.
Blue Jackets. There's no such thing as Blue Jacket fans. No Blue Jacket fans listen to the show. You're an Islander fan. Admit it. Just admit it. You won't even admit you're an Islander fan?
I am an Islander fan. At least we have John.
You're an Islander fan.
I'm scared of him.
Oh, yeah. So this is the idiot that called us 5 months ago, and the only thing he had to say was, I just want to know if you guys are scared of John Tavares. You think I've forgotten that classic phone call?
You've been lighting the board up lately.
Yeah, he's still good for second on your team in goals.
Is this Dave Maloney again?
Wow, that's saying a lot.
Yeah, so am I.
Guys, you want to talk to Dave Maloney? He's sitting right next to me. I can bring him on.
Yeah.
No, really? You want me to bring him on? Dave, you want to go on?
Bring on Dave.
So
come on,
come
on if you guys want
to. Say?
Nick, isn't Don sitting next to you? We can have both brothers on here.
I got Don. The Islanders. Guy's an ass.
Pete, say something funny right now.
My big dick. My big dick.
Whoa. Yeah, that was funny.
Yes.
That was funny.
Shit, I think you better get off the line before I whack you over the head with a bottle.
I said you couldn't come on. I didn't want you on. Get back.
Let me tell you guys something, okay? And this goes to Pete, too, because I know that little asshole is still listening, okay? If you want to call up and prank this show, I have absolutely no problem with that. Nobody will laugh at it harder than I will if it's funny, okay? I'm a Howard Stern fan. I'm a Jerky Boys fan. I've got the Tube Bar CD, and anybody over the age of 40 that grew up in North Jersey knows what that is. I love to laugh, and I love prank phone calls. But at least be funny. Don't just be a douchebag. Don't call up and call me fat. I know I'm fat. I know I'm fat the way I hang over the ball at 6 o'clock in the morning. Gee, I know I'm fat the way they got to hose me down instead of taking a goddamn shower. I know I'm fat. That ain't funny. Jeez,
fat.
We can do better than that. And we lost
fat
Nick.
Fat is funny. As far as
Nick hung up.
Nick's had enough. I'm still here. I don't know if I should go, too. I mean, Dave is, like,
fat
vibrating right now.
Fat's funny, but calling me up and saying, oh, you're fat. That ain't funny. I know that.
But,
I think I know when I put on a pair of 54 pants. All right, I'm not that.
All right, don't let this guy derail us from our Ranger Kumbaya party.
All right, we got Nick back.
Hello?
Nick, hang on. Oh, he didn't derail anything. I'll just say, I don't care. You want to call up and prank the show? It just means we're it just means we're pissing somebody off, which means we're doing it right. But at least be funny. Come up with something creative. Jesus,
all right.
So fat
no
I can't fit the tub in the morning. That's why.
All right, the more
Dave
you talk
Maloney,
about him,
Dave Maloney was funny. Dave Maloney was funny and creative.
The more I talk about him, what, Eddie?
Hey, the guy was funny.
No.
Anyway, let's not focus on the Islanders because let's face it, that's all they do with us. Their whole barometer for success is the Rangers. You heard it from that moron's mouth. Oh, he'd be the second leading scorer on your team. Well, who cares? Our team sucks. But say, what do you think this whole show has been about? I mean, but they're our team. We love them. They're our bums. And we're the only ones allowed to criticize them. And if some Islander fan comes on here and wants to make some jokes, be funny. You're not funny.
He's on the line again.
No, don't. Let's.
I didn't. No, he's on the switchboard. I'm not letting him back on because he's an idiot. He came on. Anybody that listens to the show every week religiously remembers about right before the season started, called in and made a Tavares comment, and we bashed him then too because he's an idiot. He was an idiot then. He's an idiot now, and that's the end of him. Anyway, we got 33 minutes left of the show. If you want to call in, 646. 478-4692 is the number. This is Blue Shirt Banner Radio. We got Jim and Eddie, and we got Greg and Nick and Dave Maloney falling in and out of the wind, in and off the phone, I think. And
he's falling off the chair, too, not just the phone. He's fumbling all over the place.
You know, Marcy Braverman is making what I believe is her debut appearance in the chat room tonight. She keeps threatening the call, but she hasn't done it yet. So I'm
Marcy
waiting to see
very,
if she'll call in.
Marcy is very, she's opinionated.
She's
a firecracker.
She's opinionated.
Let me tell you.
Without a doubt. Yep.
And I talked about this, I think it was with Emil Francis when we had him on, that the female fans are that are so passionate about the game. I love it. And, their opinions, I mean, they're vocal. They're not holding them back, It's and that's great. And Marcy's, we have a couple. I mean, Jackie Lamba and Mary Lou comes in here. And we had Mary Lou on the, not Mary Lou Red, Mary Lou to Simply JB is called in. And they're great. I mean, they have valid and very vociferous opinions. So I love it. You're a Ranger fan. I love it. Go ahead.
You know, we talk a lot about how knowledgeable Ranger fans are, and fans that I've seen of other teams, they all have female fans, but I don't think any of them are as knowledgeable as female Ranger fans. I mean, just the like you said, the few that come in the chat room and hang out with us, they know their stuff. And we had those two the two girls we spoke to out of the game in Phoenix that we had on the air. They know their stuff. It's great.
They know their
stuff.
They can talk Ranger puck, NHL puck. I mean, that's what I love. I love the fact that, Ranger fans are just so – I mean, yes, there are dumb Ranger fans. Trust me, I've met a couple. But not on this show for sure. But these people they're really well-informed, and they know what's going on around with the league and going, why aren't we like the rest of the league? So that's basically why. So I love everybody. You're a Ranger fan. You're okay with me. You're an Islander fan. You scum. You hear me? You and your Bruno Gervais. You and your Brendan Twitt who got sent down. Your Charles Wang and your Little Wang and your Gar Snow and your committee. Your committee of buffoons. Go play your preseason games in China.
Your Chinese fire drill training camp?
Yeah. That's right.
Well, going back to...
Hey, the Islanders are having training camp. This will be what it's like. A Chinese fire drill.
Hey, I wonder why Matt Molson isn't scoring. He had such a great year last year. Yeah, I can tell you why. Matt Molson's having a career year. How come Kyle Okposo looks like the Geico caveman? I don't understand. Now I derailed myself.
Yeah, you derailed yourself. That's okay though. We like the rants are always funny. Anyway, Nick, I'm sorry. We interrupted you. What's up?
Going back to the thing about women being fans. Actually, when I posted on Twitter today when Brashear got waived or when he requested the trade, the first 5 replies were all from women. It was actually pretty funny, and they knew their stuff. The first one I got was like, by all means, get the hell out then. It's actually pretty funny.
Yeah, I got about, I have about 10, I would say between 10 and 15 female Ranger fans that follow me on Twitter, and they know their stuff. There's no doubt about it. They're not just concerned with who the good looking guys are on the team,
right.
You know?
I mean, that's how it used to be. We used to call them hockey bunnies. You know, they just follow the cute
right.
guys around. But blow a lot of the guys' opinions away as far as I'm concerned. They just – hey, listen. I don't know what else to say on that subject, so go ahead. I'm going to eat a pretzel.
All right. We got 28 minutes to go. You guys want to call in? I'm going to give the number again, 646-478-4692. We will be back on the air. Really quick, I better check the schedule because I know there's a Tuesday night game coming up, and I don't remember. It's not next week. I'm sorry. The Olympics are next week. We'll be on the air Tuesday night, 8 o'clock. I don't know. That'll probably be our Olympic show. At least we'll be talking about the Olympics a little bit. We've been trying to get Craig Patrick on. I have an email out to him that I have not heard back from him yet. Eddie did a conference call with some of the members of the 1980 Olympic team that we may play for you guys at some point. Eddie was able to ask a few questions. Craig Patrick took part in that. And I reached out to the USA Hockey people to see if we could get Craig on the show, obviously, you know, because of his involvement with the 1980 team and being GM and part-time, he was coach twice, Eddie, he took over, he went behind the bench, or just once? Was it, when he fired Herb Brooks, was there one other time he wound up behind the bench as coach?
I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, so we're trying to get Craig Patrick on the show. We'll see how that works out.
Sorry, couldn't back you up on that.
Yeah. That's okay. So that'll be Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. We don't have Ricky tonight. Ricky was unavailable, so we can't talk about the Ron Gressner night. But hopefully he'll be on Tuesday night. We'll give you guys a little more info on that. Other guests? I don't think we have any other guests lined up right now. But we'll see what else is cooking once we get into March. So
yeah,
let's get. Sorry, I got to hang up on the Islander douchebag again. Give me a second here.
You're getting sidetracked by that. Don't worry about that.
I'm just getting them off the switchboard. That's all. So again, 646-478-4692. We're going to see if Marcy's going to call in tonight, and an imprisoned Ranger fan will be calling in again. Where's Heisey? How come he's not calling in?
I just came. I just sent him the message. He's always good for a laugh or two. He said today, when I spoke to High C, he says, when he calls the show, he just wants to make me laugh. And I think that's a good sentiment. And usually he does that by dropping his pants.
he doesn't care about making me laugh?
I don't think he likes making you laugh, but he's, me and him are like, we always say we're brothers from another mother. Because we constantly, saying things at the same time, and we have a little bit of a repertoire. He's watched so many Ranger games with me and seen all my outbursts and everything. So, What happened? Going back to that game, because, again, you know, when you're sitting and you're watching the game, you don't see everything. But the Colin Wilson goal, I saw that Rosewald tried to clear the puck. Did he hit Callahan's stick or something?
It hit him in the
back. I think he hit Callahan. He hit Callahan right in the chest. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was it was a nice assist he picked up.
He always – that's one thing – well, there's a lot of things I hate about Roosevelt, but one thing is he always clears the puck with his head down. I don't understand why he can't pick his head up. And right there, you know what happened.
That would constitute doing two things at once.
Yeah, probably.
See, I didn't see that. First, I was too busy actually yelling at him for clearing the puck out in the middle. And then I just saw it on Colin Wilson's stick and him burying it. And Colin, as you know, his father was on the show. And Carrie, he was born in New York, and Colin wanted to play for the Rangers. Unfortunately, the Rangers weren't in that position to draft him. But he was, I was like, damn it, Colin, you get your second career goal against the Rangers, and I'm here? Couldn't you wait? But
they showed Carrie Wilson highlights during the game last night.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Showed him scored a couple of goals with the Rangers.
They say they say that kid is in like top physical shape. Like out of all the NHL players, he's like top four or three in like the physical test they had at the combine or whatever they have over there.
Colin Wilson was?
Yeah. They say, and it makes sense because Carrie and his grandfather both were medical students, and I'm pretty sure his grandfather was a doctor, so I'm sure physical fitness was a big deal in their lives. So, yeah, that's what I heard on him, and he's a young guy too. I'd like to see on him on the Rangers too. I like to see, but you know, I just to go, you know, I talked about this earlier in the season, is that the you know, really, the focus has got to be on the young guys. And if we see Tortorella impeding the progress of the young guys, really, that's the major problem. If that is the case, then I think he needs to go. Because, Gilroy, all right, he's 25. But if Delzato and if Grachev comes up next year, what's going to happen with him? I mean, you know, you got to start thinking about the future because obviously the present is going to be good. So if there's a problem and there's a revolt about with the young players, it's a major problem.
Well, sometimes the young players, with developing the young players, sometimes you have to keep them on the line with certain line mates they'll always be with. And that obviously hasn't been the case with Tortorella this year. Nisimov's been all up and down the line. Up Delzato and Gilroy have had different pairings. It's never consistent.
Right, and that's what the Russian players like. You know, we've had Leslie Treff on, who does consult with the Rangers from time to time and advises them. And she goes to the Traverse City tournaments and she writes for HF boards as far as the prospects go. And she says Anisimov and Grachev, especially, they're Russian. It's a little harder for them to assimilate to the North American, you know, the NHL style, the travel and all that. And they like the consistency of playing with the same line mates. And could you think of a worse coach for that than John Tortorella?
Well, maybe the previous coach.
Yeah. That is true, actually. Rennie did switch the lines up quite often.
I'd have to go back and look at all the score sheets of every game to see who's worse, Rennie or Tortorella, with juggling the lines. I believe High C has joined us. High C, are you there?
Oh, I'm here. I'm live. I have nothing to say, so I'm ready to go.
Okay,
well,
great.
Yeah, great. Join the hosts in the same thing. Let me prod you, High C, if I may.
I thought that was going to be after the show.
Did you say
probe? Prod.
Oh,
prod. Not probe. Sorry. Your mind's in the gutter. Let me ask you something, High C. Now you heard this comment that the big rig said that I guess Ranger fans expected a showman like Colton Orr. Now, I think you probably would have a problem with that comment.
Totally. I mean, first of all, that's just completely, that's like just like a politician talking. It's got nothing to do with reality or facts or any kind of, anything that's got any truth to it. I mean, Colton Orr, again, this could spur an argument, but I think he, of all of the Rangers since we've been watching him, he is like in the top three of Ranger heavyweights. He's not a middleweight. He was a heavyweight. He took on every heavyweight in his tenure as a Ranger and at best finished way better than even in that. Brashear had three fights. He needed 20 games between those fights because he was so gassed because he's an old man. So saying stuff like that, that just proved that Marty McSorley thing really did have some long lingering effects.
Right. So, long-lingering effect. I mean, it's true. But come on. Can you say Colton Orr was a showman?
Not at all.
Showman. I mean, I think that's a bad way to categorize Colton Orr. And is he blaming the Rangers? Listen, how does he expect Ranger fans to take to him after he decimates Blair Betts with a cheap, one of the cheap moves of all time? I mean, what does he want?
And then he goes,
a tough city.
And then he goes and says that on top of it. He said in the article, in his quote, that they don't believe in me or whatever. And how does he expect anyone to believe in him when he just goes and calls our former players that the fans love showmen?
I mean, I'm sure he was frustrated. He really is. The door is closing on that guy's career. But it was just a ludicrous statement. It was just totally ridiculous. It was a joke. And
yeah.
I got to, a little props though. I want to blow smoke up Eddie's ass. And this will be after the show as well. But you had the cojones to actually drive into Manhattan to watch those Snorefest Rangers, who are a Snorefest team with Gabby, and you trudge in that, that snowstorm apocalyptica to watch that debacle. Eddie, you're a true Ranger fan. True Ranger fan.
I think I'm just insane. I mean, what was I thinking? No Gaverick? Nashville? Watching that game with Barry Trotz, the guy looks like Dracula. That's ridiculous. I mean, either I'm a diehard Ranger fan or just a Looney Tune, as JD would say. Here we go, Fred Norris at the helm. So
we got so many good ones.
I'll take the props when I can get them, that's true. D.B. Maven just said, I had to see Corey Potter. I just had to see him live.
The seventh. He had to. Well, there could be some truth to that. You have been screaming all year long for a seventh defenseman, and you got to see it.
You got to see
the difference that a seventh defenseman makes.
Yes. And it made no difference.
I mean, just to highlight last night, didn't you say there was a Micheletti chant going on? Didn't you?
Yeah, apparently there's this chant that goes 4-3-2-1, Micheletti, shut up.
Wow.
That's the chant.
I love that.
Best chant ever made at the Garden, as far as I'm concerned.
I've never heard it. What? Has this been going on for a while?
Yeah.
That's it for replace the pot van chant.
Oh, I hate that pot van
chant. A lot of people were anti the pot van chant. I forgot to tell you that.
It's so overplayed. I mean, nobody even knows what they're chanting about. They just know that it's a historic chant for the Rangers. Half the people in the building have no idea what they're saying when they're saying it.
And Eddie, it was last night, I don't know if you noticed, because I was thinking of you, It was 5 seconds after the face-off last night. And there's the guy with the whistle. I was like, oh, man, Eddie must be going out of his mind.
You know, I didn't say anything because, you know, I kind of had, like, this reverence for the 400s. I mean, I have reverence for the whole building. But, you know, like, listen, I'm a visitor there. These guys are there every game, the season ticket holder. So I didn't say much. But I noticed during the Potvin chant, somebody said, shut the F up, when it was time for, because they're getting sick of it. Like the old timers, it's like, they had enough of it. It's the cool thing to do, the look at me type of thing to do.
Exactly.
You know, I like it when you're up 5-0, there's nothing else to do, but the Rangers are never in that position. I don't want to see it done when it's tied or the game is in the balance.
Well, it's great when it's 5-0 against the Islanders, so it has some relevance, but 5-0 against the, you know, Phoenix Coyotes, who the hell on the Coyotes has any clue who Dennis Potvin is?
Yeah, and it doesn't make much sense.
I think in that chat room, Ranger Dude 35 came up with a much more apropos chant, which is Sather sucks, because, you know, when you really do think about it, Sather has poisoned and damaged that team way more than Dennis Potvin ever did.
That's true. Well, I agree. I think there was some smattering of that, I didn't really, you know, again, and the thing for me is the Dance and Larry thing. He was there last night.
I heard his music.
Oh, God.
After they scored, right?
Yeah. You should have seen the scowl on my face when that fucking guy was, that guy was on the video. I cannot take that guy. I'm sorry, guys. I know some people love him.
I hate that
I know
guy.
He's a Ranger fan, but it, again, just, he doesn't know his puck. If you don't know your puck, I got no use for you. That's it. And he wants to be paid for appearances.
How much does he really know about the Rangers, or is he just there?
He doesn't know nothing.
An attraction.
He doesn't know anything. At least he didn't know. I've told the story on the air before, is that I knew Dancing Larry before he shaved his head. My friends had season tickets. I used to go to a lot of games, and he sat right behind me. He looked like Stephen Wright, the comedian, if you know him, with his hair all up. And his nickname to me and Mandar, who's been on this show, we made up for him, was he was known as the stupidest man in the world. That's how little we thought of Dancing Larry.
Somebody should buy
him
a beer.
You know what's funny about Dancing Larry is that he's popular with the women. I'm not looking at the chat room right now, but I guarantee it's the women saying, leave Dancing Larry alone. And you see all these women that are Ranger fans on Facebook, and they all have their pictures on their profile with Dancing Larry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Dancing Larry.
He works the women, I'll tell you.
Yeah, well, of course. He's all trying to, you know, he's all scamming on them. You know, he wants to get, you hear all those stories. Oh, Dancing Larry came on. What a disgusting creature he is.
Oh, yeah, remember the story we had before the Phoenix game, that girl.
Hey,
that girl was telling us.
He's a despicable character.
Do they still do the homo Larry chant after he's done?
Yeah. See, that's the thing, too. I don't get it. And I'm going to end it here with the Dancing Larry thing. If you're a guy who wants to go to a game and you're getting called a homo every time you that to me, I would never go back to Madison Square Garden again. I mean, really, you're a glutton for punishment. How can you take that?
I think it would be worse if you were in the bathroom.
I just think it's either way, it's attention.
See,
you know?
Marcy Braverman just said it in the chat room. He hit on me.
How
many times have we this story?
I think we're feeding into the Dancing Larry allure more by just giving him airtime right now, talking about him.
Yeah.
He's probably listening. He's trolling right now.
Okay. Well, let's stop talking about him. Let's not bring it down.
All right.
Yeah, man.
So how about let's see, how about start? We got 10 minutes to go on the show. What do you guys want to talk about? What do you want to, how do you want to finish this? How do you want to wrap this up?
Let's end on a high note. Let's talk about the future. What we let's play Miss Cleo for a second.
All right. Well, how about I throw some names? I give you? Oh, sorry.
I just want to ask real quick. Did you guys see? I know Eddie, you didn't see this because you were at the game. Did you guys see the highlight they showed of Chris Kreider, the goal he scored?
Yeah,
that was awesome.
I did not.
Oh boy, did that have sugar plums dancing in my head? What a beautiful goal that was!
And that the toe drag through the defenseman, the toe drag before the shot was even prettier.
Yeah.
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 I mean, I can't.
Okay,
wait.
Let me throw this question out. Out of all the prospects that we hear about in the Rangers system, we'll start with Eddie. Who is the one prospect that you are most excited to see someday on Broadway?
Stepan.
Derek Stepan?
Stepan. Stepan. Clap on, clap off. Yeah, Stepan is the guy I really like because I think he's a leader. I think he's got the skill. Cried, I'd like to say, too. I mean, this guy is fast. We've talked to him. He's such an intelligent kid, and he says he still wants to work on his speed, and the guy's fast enough to play in the NHL already. So I like Steppenwolf. I like him because I think he's going to be a good leader. I like what I saw in the World Juniors from him.
Wazili just said Pavel Brendel. Keep waiting.
Yeah. All right, I'm done. Somebody else go.
All right.
Going with Grachev. Going with Grachev.
Okay. How about Greg?
Well, since everybody seems to go with Stepan, I'm going to say Matt Zaba. I think he's going to do a great job of...
Ed Koff!
You gotta stop drinking out of Dave Maloney's bag.
What bag? It's right out in the open. What are you talking about?
All right, Nick, how about you?
Well, probably Stepan, but I also want to see Ryan Bourque. Because I feel Ryan Bourque will be a lot like a Ryan Callahan, but maybe even with more skill. After watching him in the World Juniors, they used him in the exact same role the Rangers use Callahan now. So I'm looking forward to seeing him.
Well, let me just talk about Ryan Bourque. One of the things that they really loved about him in the Juniors is he was asked to play a couple different roles that are not normally his roles, and he did them so well. My problem with Ryan is that he's already had two concussions so far this season, and I'm worried about his health. He's a small guy, and already two concussions. You know, it's going to be, you know, Altoon time for you Jet fans out there.
Hi, how about you?
I said Grachev because he's the only one I'm familiar with.
He's honest.
I'd like to see young guys on the team now that are already up. I mean, I know this isn't really answering the question, but you know, I'm still
Delzato.
Well, you know, he's a 19-year-old, you know, defenseman rookie, so he's going to take his lumps for sure. He's not a complete liability. He's not a liability at all, really. And it's you know, and Artem, I just wish he played with like this super great confidence, like he's, you know, like he can do it, like he can. You know, that he's an NHL thing. I think the only thing that he lacks is confidence. The guy, I think, could be great.
Yeah,
I agree with him. I think Anisimov, he has the most potential to flourish once he finds his niche because he just has raw talent. You saw what he did in the preseason. I it's one of my favorite YouTube clips I've ever seen against Boston. He dipped through three guys and then just feathered the puck in like nothing. You know, when he's on, he looks like an all-star already. I mean, he definitely has that talent. It's just going to take time, I think. It's a definite confidence issue.
Yeah, he's got that big wingspan. He's tough on the boards. If he crashes the net, He's able to ward off players, which he doesn't do too often, but when he does it, and he's also got the skills. I mean, you were talking about that Boston goal. That was a fantastic goal. He also scored this year one of those goals where he cut real quick to the net and really showed you how good of a skater he is for a big guy like that.
He's a great skater. He's super strong.
And
For someone of his size and stature to be so agile, it's hard to find.
Right. And, you know, so there are some good things. So a lot of people talk about Ethan Werrick. I haven't seen much of Ethan Werrick. Anybody have any ideas on what he's all about? And
Ethan Werrick is my answer for the guy that I'm most excited about. He was the second round pick this year. He's tearing it up in the OHL. When he was drafted, there was a lot of buzz that he was projected to go in the first round by a lot of people, and that the Rangers really got a steal getting him in the second round. Looking at his numbers, he's got 24 goals, 29 assists in 49 games for the Kingston Frontenacs of the OHL. He was a lot like Kreider, more exuberant. I mean, this kid had a grin from ear to ear when he was drafted by the Rangers. He was just so excited, and he's just somebody I'm really looking forward to. I'm hoping that maybe we'll see him sooner rather than later.
Well,
I'm excited for Kreider and Stepan, and maybe someday Ryan McDonagh as well, but Ethan Werrick is the guy that I'm looking forward to seeing. He's a guy I'm really pulling for.
Are you going to the draft again this year, Jim?
I certainly hope so.
I will be there. I will be there. Jim will be there.
We will be there.
Yeah. Imagine
live from the parking lot of the Staples Center. Never mind.
Why do you guys think they won't give Byers another shot? He got 5 games. He had a goal in his 5 games, and that was it.
That's a good question, actually. When I saw him play, I thought he was definitely better than Boros.
He's better than Higgins and Kotalik by far. He got a way better shooting percentage, 5 shots, 1 goal.
Steven McDonald is better than Boros.
And you look at his stats in the AHL, and they're pretty good stats, too, for what they call an enforcer and the grinder type guy. He has great stats. I'd love to see him up.
Yeah, he's on their third line in Hartford. He's a third liner.
I don't know what's going on. I think everybody, Rangers and Ranger fans, are in consensus that Dane Byers, why not bring a young North-South player up instead of these older guys who we already know what they are?
I'm just saying, you know, if it ain't broke, you know, don't fix it. But that obviously Tortorella has never heard that metaphor before, because we obviously see that every, you know, 5 minutes in the first period, Drury's on the first line after being starting lineup on the fourth line. So, that was the smartest coaching move I've ever seen. Put Drury on the right wing, first line, to replace Gabrick. If anybody's going to bring up the scoring load, replace Gabrick.
Yeah, they had Prosper Christensen and Chris Drury on the first line last night. I called it the goal of the week line.
I read that. I saw that.
The goal line.
The goal line.
Yeah. And then somebody said that I needed to lower my expectations.
It's just got renamed the GAM line, the goal a month line.
Yeah.
I love it.
Well, We're down to about 90 seconds, and before we wrap this up, I just want to thank everybody for your support as always. We had a great crowd here for an impromptu Thursday night show. Make sure you check us out at www.blueshirtbanner.com, and make sure you check out rangercrisis.com. Eddie's always got some great videos up there,
some old
Ranger highlights and some new stuff. It's really the only place to go to find the type of stuff that is up there. There's really nobody else that does it like Eddie does. And again, we'll be the gay line, the gay
goalie. Yeah, I see that. Oh, yeah.
Anyway, and we'll be back Tuesday night, as always, at 8 o'clock for you guys. And we appreciate the influx of new listeners and new members on the site. And we welcome all of you. And remember, let me just throw this out before we go off the air. If you missed the show, you can download it to your iPod or your Zune. All of our shows are archived. You can go back and listen to every show we've ever done going back to June, should you so choose. Eddie, always a pleasure. And
always
Greg,
a pleasure, my friend.
In prison, thanks for joining us, guys. Have a good night.
Good night, guys.
For having us.
Take care, guys.
All right, guys. Bye. All right, guys. We're off the air. Everybody, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
No problem. It was a lot of fun. Why don't we get good callers, too, except for the on the guy.
Hi, everybody.
Hey!
How are you? I was good. I never met a beer I didn't like.
This is Pete Stepkowski. How you doing?
How you doing?
You watched that French show, too. You know, Dave, remember when you first came up in our initiation?
Yeah, I never recovered from that initiation. Why do you think I was talking like this?
You couldn't sit down for a week.
Oh, Jesus.
No comment on that one.
All right, guys. Take care. Bye, Dave. I love you.
Take care, everybody.
All right. Care. Thanks, Greg. Eddie, I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
All right. Good night.
Good night, guys.